Thank you. So we're just going to switch to a PowerPoint now with some pictures. Thank you for being here this morning, and thank you as a church for your commitment to our brothers and sisters who face severe persecution, even allowing me to come every year and just share with you. But there's a faithful group of people here who pray regularly for them. And, you know, it was great just singing that extra song this morning in solidarity with our brothers and sisters. And when we visit them, that it means so much when we're able to share that there are churches that just remember them and pray for them. Makes all the difference. So, next one, please. So, I'm just a couple of days ago got back from Guatemala, where my daughter works with young people who live on the streets of Guatemala City. I'm still on Guatemalan time. It's actually 5 o'clock in the morning for me at the moment, so bear with me. In Guatemala, my daughter lives about 20 kilometres outside Guatemala City, on the outskirts of a hill town at an altitude of about 7,000 feet. And when we're there, Guatemala City is just such an ugly place of corruption and violence and horrible things. But where she lives, at night, it's one of those places where you go out in the darkness and you're away from the light pollution. So I've just enjoyed every night for the last 3 weeks, just going out, looking up at the sky and seeing a night sky in perfect blackness with all those twinkling stars shining through. You know the sort of thing, you've all been in places where you can do that. And that just speaks to me, really, of how when it's darkest, the light shines so much more perfectly. It's so much more visible. And really, that's the experience of our brothers and sisters who face persecution, is that in the darkest places, they experience the light in a more clear way than perhaps we normally experience. So that's a verse from John 1 that you'd be very familiar with. Now, Hey Wu, those of you that are involved with Open Doors Ministry know that this little lady from North Korea has been worked incredibly hard over the last couple of years. She's one of the very, very few people that ever gets out of a North Korean labor camp, particularly if you're a Christian. Some people go there for fixed term sentences. Most Christians don't get out because they don't repent of being Christians. So, and because of that, they are seen as enemies of the state. And amazingly, this lady did get out and managed to get out of North Korea. So she's worked very hard and used in lots of stories. You will have heard, I'm sure I've mentioned before, her story about the toilet church. You've all heard that story, how in the labor camp, the only safe place to worship Jesus and to share your faith was the toilets, because it's such a horrible place. The guards don't go there. And you will have heard that Hey Wu has been touring the world on behalf of Open Doors Ministry, just drawing attention to the fact that in that terrible prison camp, a place where she said that as she goes, you enter those prison camps and there's a warning sign, do not attempt to escape. And you're just worked and worked and worked and beaten and abused in awful ways. And she said that when prisoners die, they cremate them and they scatter their ashes on the path just to add insult to injury, so that the other prisoners then have to walk on their ashes. And she said, and she just remembers thinking, that's going to be me one day. Just being, my ashes will be just trampled into the ground. But she held on to her faith, and she was able to prove that in that dark, dark place, the light of Jesus was able to penetrate and use her even to lead other people to come to know Jesus. So the next one, please. Yes, Hey Wu said this: In prison, I saw the worst of humanity, but I saw the best of Jesus. Jesus was at work. And you might feel in a dark place yourself this morning. You know, I sometimes get a little bit overwhelmed with the breakdown of civilization, even in our own country. Do you sometimes feel that as a Christian, that even the veneer of civilization is disappearing? The boundaries of what is accepted in behavior just keep getting pushed back and back. And there's so much anger and aggression about the place. It's as if even our own country is becoming a dark place. Whatever you're going through this morning, Jesus is there with that light, and we can see the best of Jesus. And Jesus wants to use us to be light. We are called to be salt and light in a dark society. We are those twinkling stars that are going to shine brightest in the darkest place. Next one, please. So that's an aerial, a space photograph, really, that you might have seen, that just shows the darkness of North Korea. So it's such this impoverished place where people are taught by their leadership that you are living the best possible lives on earth in North Korea. They're deprived of information about what life is like outside, just so they can remain convinced that these godlike characters that they're taught that are leading them, Kim Jong-un, is treated like a god, and people are taught, brainwashed, to believe that life in North Korea is better than it could be anywhere else. But that space photograph just shows the darkness. They're deprived even of electricity to light the place up, other than what they want the media to see. And it was interesting that North Korea has just come more and more to our attention. You might have seen Michael Palin's series earlier this year on telly, just exploring what life is really like there and how they have to live a lie and live under total deception. But that's the darkness of North Korea, not even enough electricity to light the place up. Christians are the ones that have to bring light into that dark place. Jesus wants to shine his light there. Next one, please. The darker it is, the easier it is to see the light of Jesus. That's something we need to grasp. I'm just wrestling that with myself. You know, that in our own country, as it gets darker, I want people to be able to see Jesus in me. And I fail so often. I fall short so much. But God wants to be at work in our lives to bring that light to our own society, but he also wants us to actually recognize how our own brothers and sisters in all these countries are under so much pressure and need our support. You know, we can't do it on our own, can we? And we need fellowship of other brothers and sisters around us to help shape us, to make us the people God wants us to be. They need us to be supporting them in prayer and in practical ways. Next one, please. I want to just emphasize this fact, you know, that I often say it. You know, we're reminded in 1 Corinthians that we are part of a body. And if one part hurts, the whole body hurts. The finger can't just say, you know, I hurt, but the rest of the body's fine. If our finger gets hurt, we feel it in our body. And our family, our church family, feel exactly the same way. They need to know that we are standing with them. When one part hurts, the whole body hurts. When part rejoices, the whole body rejoices with it. But we are a worldwide family. And we're going to just have a look at a few examples of how that works. Next one, please. I don't know about you. I guess as we get older, we stop fearing the darkness in the way that we do as a child. We get used to the fact that you can turn the light off at night and you don't have to be afraid. But the metaphorically, darkness can be scary. I'm just going back to that example of how I feel about our society. I find it scary when I keep seeing on the news the number of You know, even old people being mugged and murdered, and nobody's safe. All the knife crime. We are in a dark, dark place. God is not afraid of darkness. And a theme really throughout the Bible is of God dealing with darkness. So we have creation, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, everything's dark. God intervenes and says, let there be light. And there is light. God creates the sun and the moon to create light for this world. God is there in creation, physical creation, challenging the darkness, pushing it back, bringing light. And then going back to the verse we had earlier on from John chapter 1, in a spiritual sense, God is then dealing with the darkness by sending his son into the world. In a way, it was prophesied in Isaiah, where one of the leading themes towards we move on from Isaiah 53 and the forecast of the crucifixion, we then hear about a light shining in this world. And that was what John could see in the life of Jesus. God attacking the darkness, bringing his light through Jesus Christ. God isn't afraid of darkness. So the darkness of the persecuted church is not something that God's afraid of. He's there at work in it. Where the flickers seem faintest, God is still at work. Next one, please. Now, the role of Open Doors is to shine a light on persecution and what God is doing. And that's something that we need to know. So it's a vehicle for us to actually have these things drawn to our attention so we can be motivated to take action ourselves. And it's also about shining a light to enable our brothers and sisters who are facing persecution to deal with it. Next one, please. So every year we have this new World Watch list. And at the back, I've got some literature. Do please come and see me and ask if you're interested to know more about it. There's a booklet that explains details of each of the 50 countries where persecution is most severe, as this map shows where they are. And one of the themes this year is that we measure persecution on a number of features, a number of characteristics, and we measure persecution that is moderate, severe, severe, very severe, and extreme. And the colour coding on that map shows the levels of persecution. Red is extreme persecution. And North Korea was one of the few places that was listed as having extreme persecution. That is changing. The colour coding is getting more intense because this year we've seen most of the countries where persecution is happening as becoming very severe or extreme. Persecution against Christians continues to escalate. So it's getting worse. That's the bad news. It isn't getting better. It is getting worse. It's getting worse everywhere. There isn't a country in the world where Christians exist where the pressure isn't increasing. And we experience it in a small way here. But then most of the countries that we're looking at, it's actually getting much harder. So if we take that list of 50 countries where it's most keenly felt, 40 out of those 50 countries are at risk of very high or extreme levels of persecution. We used to say maybe moderate. It is now in 40 out of 50 of those countries, the persecution is very high or extreme. That means that 245 million Christians, we estimate, now face high to extreme levels of persecution. That's a big number. Can you grasp it? 245 million. And that's based on fairly good research. 1 in 10 Christians globally face persecution because of their faith. 10% of the world's Christians are facing significant persecution, not just being given a hard time at work, being marginalized, but facing severe discrimination, imprisonment, even the threat of execution. Christians in over a third of the world's countries are now facing high levels of persecution. A third of the countries in the world are places where it's dangerous to be a Christian. So just talking about that colour coding, this is to give you an image, really, of what's happened over the last 5 years in Asia. So the yellow on the right there, 2014, most of it was colour-coded yellow, which meant that there was high levels of persecution, but not what we would call very high or extreme. And just really North Korea was the only one that was colour-coded red with extreme. 2019 now has changed all that, and there are actually very few countries in Asia which would just be considered as high levels of persecution, but are now considered to be very high or extreme persecution. You notice India is now colour-coded red. I'm going to say a little bit more about that shortly. Next one, please. Christians often pay the price twice on the basis of class, gender, ethnicity, age, as well as belief. So there's a double jeopardy for most Christians. They face discrimination and persecution on at least two levels, if not three. Next one, please. So India, it's probably the most significant change this year. I was in India a few years ago, and I made friends with Open Doors workers there, and it's been always been part of my presentation to show photographs of them, to talk about them by name, to show examples of what they do. I can't do that now because India has now become such a dangerous place to be a Christian. I'm not allowed to show their faces or mention their names or the places that they go to, just in case the information got out on the internet and jeopardizes their safety in India. India has become a place of extreme persecution, so it's now number 10 on the World Watch list, higher than Saudi Arabia. Life has not become easier for Christians in Saudi Arabia. Compared with when I first began doing this, it's just that all the other countries have become more extreme. So in India, we have a Prime Minister, Modi, who is a Hindu extremist, who believes that India is just a place for Hindus. So it's not just Christians, Muslims too will also face persecution in many places and people of other faiths. But our brothers and sisters, Christians, are daily being attacked and facing violence, churches being closed down, false accusations causing Christians to be arrested and imprisoned and held in custody until they can prove their innocence. You're not innocent until proved guilty. If a Hindu extremist accuses you of violence, you have to prove your innocence. Our brothers and sisters in India really do need our prayers. Next one, please. So, how is Open Doors involved? Amazingly, in this prison nation of North Korea, where 50,000 to 60,000 of our brothers and sisters are in prison camps, Open Doors have courageous people working undercover in ways that I'm not even allowed to be party to much of the information about how they work, but they are getting aid into Christians. They're creating safe houses for people who are fleeing persecution, fleeing arrest, to use safe places on their way out of the country, being helped to get out, being met when they get out of North Korea into China by brave Christians who help them to start a new life, still under great danger of secret agents from North Korea who are out to catch them and rearrest them and take them back to an even more severe penalty in prison. God is at work even in North Korea. And the amazing thing is that the church is growing. A lot of this seems like bad news, the good news is that the church still exists, that light does still exist in these places where it's hardest to be a Christian. And the church is growing even in North Korea. Next one, please. So in places like Pakistan, Egypt and Nigeria, the church is experiencing extreme violence. In each of those countries this year, there have been bomb outrages, churches having bombs and grenades thrown into them, Christians being murdered and kidnapped. In Nigeria, Nigeria is not even in the top 10, and yet it's probably the country where more Christians have died in the last year than anywhere else, simply by being murdered by extremist groups like Boko Haram, and Christians having to flee from their communities in northern Nigeria to refugee camps in southern Nigeria. They need our prayers. And Open Doors is at work providing trauma counselling, aid, support in the refugee camps, discipleship training to those who are new in their faith, getting alongside those who've faced bereavement and violence. Next one, please. I just want to spend a few minutes talking about gender impact. This is a painful subject, but we need to face up to it. In a past history of mine, I was a manager in social services for many years. And the odd thing was that as a bloke, the majority, sort of 95% of the staff I managed were women. That's just the way it is in social services. And to me, it was a matter of real pain daily that I was having to deal with the effects of male behaviour on females. Do you know what I'm talking about? The amount of abuse of children. I don't want to talk too much about it, really, but I used to sometimes say to some of my staff, I feel ashamed of my gender when I see the way that men are involved in abusing children, especially girls. And the strange thing is that I'm now living a parallel as a representative for Open Doors, in that I lead a prayer meeting regularly, and the vast majority of the people who come to that prayer meeting are women. And again, I'm having to face the issue of daily narrating stories of abuse of women by men. Now, guys, don't get me wrong. We, as men, Christian men, can't carry the guilt of bad behaviour of men. But I do believe that God wants us to experience something of his broken heart for the amount of abuse of women that goes on in this world. We need to face up to that and be prepared to speak out on it. We can't change the world. We can't be responsible for every bad guy who abuses a child or a woman. And it's not only men that abuse other people of other genders and children. Obviously it happens. But the vast majority of the abuse that goes on in this world is perpetrated by men. We need to experience God's heart for this. And so, can we have the next slide, please? This is an example. You know, around the world, if you're a Christian woman, you face the risk not just of being discriminated against. Leah Sharibu, I don't know if you know this girl's story, she's now 15. A year ago, she was kidnapped from her school in Nigeria by Boko Haram terrorists and taken off to one of their camps with all her school friends. The majority of her school friends are Muslims. And when the Boko Haram terrorists discovered that most of the girls were Muslims, they decided to let them go. a couple of years before that, you might remember the incident of the Chibok schoolgirls, 300 plus girls from a Christian community who were held for years, and some of them still are. Now, Leah Sharibu was not a Muslim, and she owned up to being a Christian. And they said, if you convert to being a Muslim, we'll let you go with your school friends. She said, I am not going to let Jesus down. A 14-year-old girl had the courage to say, I am not going to deny Jesus. And she, so they kept her in their captivity. And they send horrible mocking video messages online and social media and challenge the authorities. And they have said they are going to keep Leah Sharibu as a sex slave for the rest of her life unless she becomes a Muslim. So goodness knows what that girl is experiencing at the moment. Now, we can't change that, but what we do need to do is speak out. And that is one of the areas in which Open Doors is involved, not just prayer information and practical support, but in advocacy. And you might have heard that back in January there was a big presentation in the Houses of Parliament. Incidentally, I'm probably getting near the end of my time, aren't I, Robin? Just another couple of minutes. You'll all be familiar with Jeremy Hunt, the Foreign Secretary. And I have to say, he was not my favourite politician. If you work in the health service, you'll know what I mean, especially if you're a junior doctor. He's now moved on to the Foreign Office. And I've had to reevaluate my view of Jeremy Hunt since the Open Doors presentation, because he launched the World Watch List report for this year in Parliament, and he made a statement that he was recently clearing out his bookshelves, and a book fell on the floor, which was God's Smuggler, written by Brother Andrew. And he said, I have to say, this book is something I read as a teenager, and it was a turning point in my life. So Jeremy Hunt owns up to being a Christian. And he has said, he actually made, is this going to go on the website, this talk? He said it in public in Parliament, so it doesn't matter if it's on your website as well. He said that he found the role of being health secretary to be a real poison chalice, but he actually feels that God has appointed him to the role of foreign secretary to actually aim to make a difference in the world. And so let's pray for Jeremy Hunt, that as we talk about issues like this painful business of Christians facing discrimination in so many different ways, but particularly when we want to advocate on behalf of girls who are facing abuse, such as Leah Sharibu, that he will use his office to influence what's going on in other countries of the world. Let's pray for him. Next one, please. So there are many countries in the world, particularly Somalia, Yemen and Afghanistan, where you to actually say you're a Christian is virtually declaring your own death sentence. I was doing a presentation last year in a church, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, aren't Christians expected to kind of be open about their faith, whatever the cost? And of course, to some extent, that is true. But I'm not here, and I'm sure you would stand with me and say, it's not for us to judge people who live in a country where you know that if you say, I am a Christian, you will be killed. Being prepared to die for Jesus is one thing, but you don't seek to do that if you can help it. So these are countries where you simply keep quiet until you're challenged. And maybe if you are asked directly, then you have to make a decision about whether you lie or you own up to being a Christian and face the consequences then. But in these countries, Afghanistan, Yemen and Somalia, we have people getting alongside Christians through church partners just simply to bring discipleship, support, trauma counselling and so on. Next one, please. It's not all bad news. And those of you that attended the big event, Open Doors, organised back in the autumn, an amazing story coming out of Iran. You know that Iran is a country where the church is growing exponentially. And one of our key speakers there talked about an incident that happened a year or so ago. The Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of Iran, is really disturbed about the growth of the Christian church. And he had been challenged by some of his leading clerics about what they were going to do about the house churches. And he was apoplectic, really. Went on telly, just changed the whole schedule for the night and did an hour-long broadcast to the nation saying, one of the big dangers facing Iran at this moment is house churches. Do not have anything to do with house churches. House churches are dangerous. If you go to a house church, they'll poison you. They'll do harm to you. They're agents of the CIA. Do not go anywhere near a house church. All around Iran, thousands of people are going, what's a house church? We want to know. If he doesn't like them, then it must be interesting, because actually, because the clerics in Iran are very, very unpopular, just pharisaical, legalistic characters. And the house churches had an incredible spike in their attendance of people coming to find out what they were about. God is at work, even in the darkest places. God can turn round the attack on the church for his good. And the next one, please. In Syria, a church leader recently had to send out an appeal to his church members saying, this Sunday, I need volunteers not to come to church. Because we're getting so many visitors from Muslim communities who are just appreciating the difference that Christians are making in our community and are so sick and fed up of all the violence of Muslim against Muslim. The church is just being overwhelmed with visitors and we need to create more space. So please, can I have volunteers not to come to church this Sunday? God is at work. I need to cut it and end there, really. So thank you for listening. Just one thing. I think you might have had some publicity in the church over the recent weeks about this little book. This little book has been produced to kind of replicate what a secret North Korean Bible looks like. Open Doors are still smuggling Bibles this shape into North Korea. This is something that's been produced by Open Doors, of the same shape, but it's actually a devotional with a daily devotional for 365 days of the year based on what we can learn from our brothers and sisters facing severe persecution. And these are on offer. It costs £10 for each Bible to be smuggled into North Korea. And so if you would like to give £10 to sponsor a Bible going into North Korea, you can have one of these in exchange. Buy one, get one free. I've got a 20-odd at the back there if anybody would like to see me to have them. But thank you very much for your care for our brothers and sisters.
When I preached the other day, I preached on the subject of we rejoice with those that rejoice and we mourn with those that mourn. Do you remember those that were here? And we all like to rejoice when there's good stories, and there is some good stories coming out of this, but we're going to do something else. We're going to stand for a minute. You know, when we have Remembrance Sunday, we stand for a minute and we remember. We're going to stand with our brothers and sisters. We're going to have a time of silence just for a minute, and we're going to intercede ourselves for people in different countries. So we had Pakistan, which is number 5. We had Afghanistan, number Yemen.
Oh, sorry,
Libya. Libya's number four.
Yeah. Somalia's three.
So we're going to stand in a minute and we're going to think about our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the other thing is that we're going to do, if you feel comfortable with it, do it. If you don't feel comfortable with it, don't do it. Is I want you to raise your hands in intercession for those people. And I want you to ask God that a miracle will happen for those people that are in terrible situations. Maybe you might think about that young girl that's been taken. So let's do that right now. Let's stand and let's raise our hands and let's just ask God now. We stand with our brothers and sisters and we ask God to do only what he can do for them. Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters who would love to have what we have today. The freedom that we have, yet in their persecution, they are strong in their faith. The church is growing. In those countries, the church is exploding in many of those nations because, Lord, it's a sign you're coming back. You're coming back for your bride. Lord, we intercede for them. We, Lord, don't have the answers you do. We pray blessing in their lives in Jesus' name. We pray for favor with open doors. We pray for strategy that they need to get into the countries to minister to people. We pray for these Bibles that will go into North Korea. Lord, we pray over every one of them, Lord. We envisage them now in our mind and they're being dispatched and sent and on their journey through whichever country they go, how they get there. We pray, Lord, that every Bible will reach a hungry soul that will be fed. And that many will be drawn into the country, into the kingdom, in Jesus' name.